We rise. Grace and peace to you from God the Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen. Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that scripture which forms the basis for our patience and comfort today comes from Isaiah chapter 65. I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here I am, here I am," to a nation that was not called by my name. I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, according to their own thoughts, a people who provoke me to anger continually to my face, who sacrifice in gardens and burn incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend the night in the tombs, who eat swine's flesh, and the broth of abominable things is in their vessels, who say, "Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you." These are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, "I will not keep silence, but I will repay, even repay into their bosom, your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, says the Lord, who have burned incense on the mountains and blasphemed me on the hills. Therefore I will measure their former work into their bosom. Thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, 'Do not destroy it, for a blessing is in it,' so will I do for my servants' sake, that I may not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, an heir of my mountains. My elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, speak to us as to your dear children. Remember us for the sake of your Son, and cause us to remember you by your Spirit. Amen. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed, perhaps you've watched the Antiques Roadshow on PBS. This program travels to different places and invites people to come and bring their belongings in for appraisal. Supposed antiques. After watching just one episode, you'll quickly realize the importance of having an expert on hand to give you the real value of what you own. You'll find one person come in and offer something they paid $200 for at an auction to find out it was a fake and is worthless. And then you'll find another person come in who paid $20 at a rummage sale only to find out that this piece of art is worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. You really need an expert to find that true value in antiquity. God is an expert above all experts when it comes to assessing value. He keeps no waste, and he wastes no value. He views the creation full of waste, full of sin, full of death, and stretches out his hand to see if he can find a blessing within. He seeks something hidden, something precious. A blessing is in it. We find this picture framed within the kingdom of God in our text. We take a look back to the setting that Isaiah addresses, the kingdom as it was present in the Old Testament among the people of Israel. God stretches out his hand back then. All day long, he says, all day long he stretches out his hand to a rebellious people who walk according to their own thoughts. God looked out over a nation that he had called his own. He stretched out his hand to a promise that was given long ago to Abraham. A promise that he would make this nation great and prosperous. That through Abraham's grandson Israel, also known as Jacob, he would bring forth great blessings. A descendants who are separated from all other nations to be one special people where he would be their God, where he would rule and govern their lives. They carry the Ark of the Covenant with the Ten Commandments and the Covenant of Promise. They carry that great promise that from them would come a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And so Isaiah addresses this people some 7 centuries after Abraham and some 7 centuries before Christ would come. The children of Israel have become corrupt. They walk according to their own thoughts. Time and time again, God had demonstrated his grace and his mercy. He stretched out his hand. He saved them from the Egyptians. He carried them through the wilderness journey. He gave them the promised land of Canaan. Again and again, he gave them words of encouragement. As Isaiah himself writes, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." So literally in our text, he says, "I let myself be sought by those who do not ask of me. I let myself be found by those who don't seek me. I am right here," he says to a nation that doesn't call on his name. God stretches out his arm to reveal great plans to save, speaking words of rebuke and words of hope. The unbelief that has been spread among the nation of Israel becomes evident in their actions, including the way they worship. We find them sacrificing in the gardens and burning incense on altars of brick. These are references to pagan practice. The type of worship that would go on in other nations had now come to God's people, where they were erecting local altars where you could pick the God of your choice and go there and worship. They were promoting that which God had called the most unclean, graves and tombs, death and swine. It's called abominable things, because God had called his people to be separate from other nations by not worshiping the way they did. He always directed them to that which distinguished God from all other gods, his word and the symbols in the temple and the covenant, the forgiveness of sins through bloodshed and the promise of the Messiah. In this rebellion, they're lost in self-righteous works. We hear it in verse 5 when they say, "Keep away from me, for I am holier than you." To put this into perspective, this is really no different than what is done today when we try to invent works that will please God. It's no different than supposing that coming to church today, or that the style of worship you participate in, is what separates you from other people. It's no different than supposing a good education or hard work or a committed financial plan will save you from sin and from the troubles in this world. The people are doing this right to God's face, sacrificing to a God that doesn't exist, to a source of security that can provide no protection, and to a Savior that cannot save. It's described as smoke rising to God's nostrils, incense offerings in which they call themselves holy, but God smells hypocrisy. It is a way that is not good. As their fathers did, so things continue. Why are they not destroyed? We read in our text, verse 8, "Thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, 'Do not destroy it, for a blessing is in it,' so will I do for my servants' sake, that I may not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, an heir of my mountains. My elect shall inherit it, and there my servants shall dwell." God is the expert of all experts when it comes to assessing value. He sees a blessing within. Even as the cluster of grapes is fermenting and there's wine to come out of it, even so God says, "Do not destroy Israel. Do not destroy the world." God stretches out his hand and there is a blessing. And for God, this value is not seen with the eyes. God sees this value as an expert sees an antique. When no one else sees it, it's there. God sees that which was spoken to Abraham. "In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." In the words of Isaiah, "He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or beauty that we should desire him. He is a man of sorrows, and we do not value him." This value can only be seen by an expert. It can only be revealed by him who comes to you today, the Holy Spirit. God sees the blessing that will come in the humble form of Jesus of Nazareth, born of a woman, born under the law, born as a seed, a descendant of this people he addresses. From Jacob, from Judah, God finds a blessing that will be to all nations. "Because he was bruised for your sins, he was wounded for your iniquities. Your peace has come by means of his punishment, and by his stripes you are forgiven." God stretches out his hand even today to you. Without Jesus, you and I are no different than the people God addresses in our text. You don't need to go out back and build an altar and sacrifice to some god to be guilty of the sort of sins that Israel was committing. It can be as simple as not thinking about the words you're praying. It can be as simple as spending a late Saturday night with friends when you know you're coming to church the next day. It can be as tempting as looking at something we should not look at or touching something that we should not touch. It could be as holy in hypocrisy as an attitude that views those who aren't in church as somehow worse sinners than you and I. But God stretches out his hand of grace. In the midst of our clustered life, full of sin, God finds a blessing. Despite our weaknesses, despite our failures, God brings us new wine poured out in the new covenant. It's not just Jesus, but it's all who believe that God sees in the midst of this world of sin whom he saves. This promise is immeasurable grace, a blessing within. Within the tribe of Jacob, God will bring a blessing. Even to Israel back then, there were believers. In the midst of that people, there were those who truly loved and served God. And Paul writes about it in his epistle to the Romans. "They are not all Israel who are of Israel. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace." And Isaiah himself writes, "Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved." God sees this value not in terms of what you have done or haven't done, but only in terms of his Son, the truly righteous one. God has extinguished false worship and kindled a new flame. a worship that pleases Him. It is the fact that you are here to hear about Jesus today, that God is pleased with you. The blessing is the good news of our Savior being proclaimed right now. It is a blessing that God has put into your hearts to know this undeserved love of God, to forgive and choose you for salvation when you least deserve it, and to preserve you when you deserve it even less. If by grace, then it is no longer of works. You are the elect. Your baptism and the word proves it. In Ephesians 1, we read how you are chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy, because in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. As we view the sort of sadness that struck the Cameron family this week, for those of you that aren't aware, the husband of one of our families, a father of three young children, passed away suddenly. Even in the midst of this sadness, these words are ever true. A blessing is in it. In the most troubling of times, in the most confusing of circumstances, as we fear the unknown and we find the questions left unanswered, God assures us a blessing is in it. We experience the consequences of sin and death that has bound this world, that squeezes us like a cluster of grapes, the curse of Adam, and we stand in the midst of it. Yet God would work the greatest of blessings for Jeff, a place of eternal rest and eternal joy. And for those who are left behind, the same. Only by consulting the expert can we now see this for what it is. God sees the course of events from the moment Jeff died to today and on to the end of the world. He sees how all things work together for good, how this will strengthen our bond in Christ, how this will work faith and hope in Him who saves us, how this will equip you to comfort and witness to others in the future, to bring more souls to know and believe. A blessing is in it. This is the greatest blessing. In the worst of experiences, even death itself, God overcomes and gives us a blessing. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus could not be held by death. He could not be held by the sorrows of this world. And neither shall Jeff be. Neither shall we be held by these sorrows forever. For God will not rescind His promise. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, not according to our works, but according to His mercy, by the washing of rebirth and renewing of the Holy Spirit. A blessing is in it. And so we strive to find that true value of God's blessing. We turn away from the sins and the pagan practices of this world to what God truly has given us. We consult the expert, which comes through the gospel, to find those antique treasures that God has preserved in His word. We run to the cross, where alone our sins are forgiven, and we stand in the empty tomb where eternal life is always ours. Do not destroy it. A blessing is in it. Amen.